Good morning. Hey, let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 22. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 1. The burden against the valley of vision. What ails you now that you have all gone up to the housetop? And down to verse 5. For it's a day of trouble and treading down and perplexity. By the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls of crying to the mountain. And then down to verse 12. And in that day, the Lord God of hosts called for weeping and for mourning, for baldness and for girding with sackcloth. But instead, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating meat and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. I began with these verses this morning, not to teach through this chapter with you today, but I use it really just to introduce where I'd like to go with you this morning. But I want to key in on those words in verse 1 and then repeat it in verse 5, where we have those words, valley of vision, valley of vision. If you were to study this chapter, you might know this or you may not, but you'll find the context is the prophet Isaiah is speaking. God is speaking through the prophet to the nation of Israel. And he's declaring, if you read all the verses, about the judgment that's going to come upon Jerusalem and the people of God. And some of the chapter may pertain to the Assyrian invasion of Judah, if you know your history and Bible, 8th century BC. But it seems especially what Isaiah is seeing is beyond that, not the near future, but beyond that to the time of the Babylonians, where indeed Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians come in, invade, destroy Jerusalem, destroy Israel. And it seems that that's what he's seeing, a time, you know, 150, a century and a half after. But as you see in verse 1, I just start with that. What you get this picture that, you know, the people are up on their rooftops. That is, there's a city that's filled with joy. If you read commentaries, it's as if the people up on the rooftops enjoying life and partying. You know, you have the philosophy even today, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die, right? Same sort of philosophy. That seems to be what is being alluded to there, where, hey, don't worry about the future. Let's just enjoy the day. Make the most of today. But here, the prophet Isaiah is not up on the rooftops with the people. Instead, it appears God has led him down into the valley. He's gone down into one of the valleys around Jerusalem, and there God gives him a vision. And it's the vision of the future, where the nation of Israel is heading. One commentator on these verses says visions and valleys often go together. But certain, you know, people are up partying. It's like in the days of Noah. Remember, even Jesus said in Matthew, you know, there's the flood getting ready, right, in the days of Noah, and yet the people are, you know, here's this prophet, Noah, God has spoken to him. He's building this ark, and the people are just, hey, let's just live for today. We're not even going to think about tomorrow. It seems to have that sort of feel, this chapter. So, but Isaiah isn't like that. He's this man of God, and he's heard the heart of God. And so he's down, and he sees this vision of where it's going for the nation. And it's an ugly picture, as you describe it, it's a picture of destruction and suffering. But he also says, and I key in on verse 12 and 13, because he also says, you know, that Israel, the Assyrians are going to come, Judah and Jerusalem. That happens after this. You can read in Isaiah the, you know, invasion of the Assyrians. But God does deliver them from the Assyrians in the days of Hezekiah. And it seems that as Isaiah is looking forward, the Jews later with the Babylonians will think the same way. They'll think, well, God delivered us from the Assyrians, he'll deliver us from the Babylonians. And so this attitude again, hey, we don't have to worry. And yet what they should be doing is he describes in verse 12 and 13, they should be crying out to God for mercy. Amen. Yeah. Because of what's coming. But he sees this time where they're not going to be like that. They're going to be so hard-hearted. And because they're so hard-hearted, I mean, there's no possibility of forgiveness. They're just hard-hearted. And the time has come. It's that time. And the judgment will come down upon the people. So that's the context of this chapter. And I just give that to you. I'm not going to teach through it. Now, I was speaking or on my computer, I'm messaging with my pastor, Mike McIntosh, yesterday. And, you know, we were just going back and forth, prayer requests and so forth. But his heart, I think of Isaiah, he's still like at his mid-70s today, but he's always had this heart. And he said, you know, pray for me. I want to go to the heartland of our country next summer, you know, between Memorial Day and Labor Day. And I want to just share the gospel. But he said it this way. I want to say we need to repent. We need to repent and turn to God. And that's my pastor, Mike McIntosh. It's always his heart. He's like an Isaiah. He sees this nation needs to repent, you know. But the gospel is what we need to turn to Christ. Well, Isaiah chapter 22, this, you know, those words, valley of vision. My reason to start with this on a New Year's Sunday isn't to go through this chapter, but I want to talk to you in my life about how God leads me to valleys of vision. Valleys of vision. That's what's happened here with Isaiah. And I believe at times I'm learning in my journey, God leads me to valleys of vision. Now, I look back over 2019. That's what I'm doing, right? It's the end of 2019. We're going to a new year. And I look back and I'm like, Lord, you're teaching me things and I'm learning things. And as we began this morning, I posed the question to you. You look over the last year, what did you learn from God? You consider your last 12 months, what did you learn? About your walk with God, you and God. What are the new things that you learned in the last 12 months that you're applying to your life with God? Or did just a year come and go? It just came and went and you're busy with other things and you're like sitting here, I can't really think of anything I learned. Well, I'd like to share with you, and this puts me out in a place of transparency, but I'd like to share with you what I learned last year. And, you know, I keep a prayer journal. I often note it to you that I keep a prayer journal. And that is one of the advantages for me in keeping a prayer journal, is I can go back. And it's quite a thing to go back at times because I forget so much and I will read. I had an experience yesterday. I was just praising God for something. As we come to the end of the year, what God has done, I was just praising the Lord for it. And as I was praising God for it, I got this thought in my mind about real special time I had with the Lord early in the year. This just came into my mind, and I'm praising God. And I decided I want to sit down and read my journal about that event again. And I sat down and I was reading about it. And as I read about it, I was surprised to realize that event tied into yesterday and my praising God. They were connected. I didn't even realize that. And then as I was reading about that event a number of months ago, I was alluding in that journal entry about something God was speaking to me about at the beginning of the year. And I had this experience yesterday where I was like, God, you've been showing me something all year long. It really kind of blew me away. I thought I was going to be teaching to you this morning from 1 Corinthians and picking up. And then after that experience, I felt the Lord just say, just tell them what you're learning from me. Some people will be ministered to through that. But also as you do it, rehearse for them this seeking of trying to remember what God tells you. Because it's quite a wonder when you do, because you get to see that God is, his eye is continually upon your life. And you also get to see his hand is continually working and you're reminded of it. It is striking to me at times. I had one of those experiences yesterday. I was like, well, so glad I got that written down. That all connects together. Even more moved by what you've been teaching me. Well, I'm going to review my little journey with you, and I hope this goes well. I'll leave it with God. This is a little different of a study. But I do want to challenge you. What did you learn last year with God? What did he teach you? Not just maybe theologically. Sure, that's important. About you and him and your walk with him. What did you learn about him? What new things, deeper things, are part of your life today because of your last 12 months with the Lord? I am finding God leads me to valleys of vision, and I want to talk to you about that in my journey last year. So let's say a word of prayer, and I hope some of this maybe will meet you in some way, stir you up as you look into a new year too. I thank you, God, as we come, and last Sunday of 2019, we look out to a new year, and I didn't anticipate I would be sharing about my last year and some private, really, things in my life, but I pray you'd use this, Lord, just as a brother in Christ with my friends here to just encourage them. Maybe some in this room need to learn the same. Or maybe they've already dialed in on those and don't need to relearn what I'm relearning. But yet, the journey with you, the wonder of who you are, what you're doing in our lives and where you're taking us. Of course, we'll be with you in the future, Lord, in heaven. But I just thank you. I ask your Holy Spirit, would you appear upon all of us, even myself as we go through these thoughts together in different verses. I'll see where this goes, Lord. You'll lead in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, God leads me at times to valleys of vision. You think of valley. A valley isn't necessarily physically a place of vision, is it? In Isaiah chapter 22, they're up on the rooftops. That's a place for vision, up on the rooftop. You know, physically, you go to the high places, the scenic overlook. That's where you get the extended vision. That's the way we think physically. It is interesting, though, spiritually, for me and for you, God will bring you into a valley and me into a valley, into these deep valleys, and there is a place for me for vision. He'll give me greater vision of who he is, and he'll also give me a greater vision of who I am in the valley of vision. For me, 2019 started this way. Some of you may know this or remember, but I have noted here there are sudden moves that are from God. Sudden moves, there are sudden moves from God, and that is, at the end of 2018, I'm living in a house in Worcester, and I'm leasing this home. Church is building a parsonage up on our land in Fitchburg. It's taken forever. I was renting a home for 13 years in Fitchburg, suddenly had to move, end up in Worcester, didn't expect that. And I'm leasing this home, and in the end of 2018, it's November, the landlord I have, suddenly it's a change of what we understood. He thinks he needs to move back into the house, so suddenly it's November, and I'm like, we got to move again? Really? I was thinking that day in November, thinking, and I've got to move by January 1st? This ought to be interesting. This is the time of year to do it, winter time, right? But just, you know, the eye of God upon your life in his hand, that's an evening experience I have. The next morning, I go to this workplace and in Fitchburg, and I'm in conversation with somebody who knows about my life. And this person brings up, as we're just chatting at this workplace, he brings up, hey, how's it going with the construction of the parsonage? And I said, it's going so slow. And as we were talking, this person says to me, hey, if you need a place to live, I got an apartment. And I'm thinking, you won't believe this, but I just learned last night. I didn't even have a chance to look in a newspaper. Well, you don't look in the newspaper anymore, do you? I didn't have a chance to look online at Zillow or whatever it is. I mean, you do? Yeah, it's ready by January 1st. Well, that didn't take too long. That took about 12 hours. So my wife and I, that very day, the next day, we go look at it, and we know without a doubt this is a God thing. So we pack up, we move. My son ends up staying in Worcester, and my rest of my family, we move into this new apartment. Well, it's the beginning of 2019 now that happens, and I'm sitting there, been there just a little time, moved in, and I'm starting to wonder, you know, Lord, why is this yet necessary? Wonderful apartment. No idea that I'd be moving, but why is this necessary? Sometimes it seems life just kind of spins around. I don't really get it, Lord. Well, on February 5th, I was reading the Bible in a Devo, and this author said this in Our Daily Bread. Life changes of address. Such moves of the heart are unsettling. But someday, from a window in heaven, our Father's house, we'll see that Jesus led us all the way. Those words stood out to me. I'm thinking about that very thing, going, why? And then I read a devotional. Sometimes we have to move. God changes our address. God has a purpose in it. And, well, I can look now back 10 months later and say, yep, Lord, you moved me to this place for a reason. I don't understand it, but I'm seeing you work. One of the reasons I think is just being believers in the neighborhood. We're starting to connect with people in the neighborhood, trying to pray for them, minister to them. And just having, you know, God experiences. One of my neighbors owns a what was a former bar. It's a bar that's closed, and the bar's next door. And I've always wondered, you know, about that bar sitting there, what goes on in that bar. Well, here we are living in this new neighborhood, and we're praying for people, and hoping to get to know them. Well, suddenly I find out I'm going to need parking spaces for my cars. We got 3 to 4 vehicles if my son is with us at all. And it's going to snow and we can't park on the street where we are, so we need a place to park. And I noticed the bar has some extra parking behind it. Bar's closed. Some people live above it. So I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm going to see if I can find out who owns that bar. And I'm going to see if we let us park our car behind the bar. Cars, you know, we need somewhere to park. Well, you know, I'm trying to figure out who these people are. I can't connect. And anyhow, a couple days before the big storm, I think it was Friday, I'm praying, Lord, we need a place to park. There's a big storm coming. I pull by that bar to pull up to where we live, and there's this dude outside. I roll down my window, and I say, hey, because I've learned it, the person's name that owns it. I say, are you that? He goes, yep. I go, I've been praying about talking to you. And all right, so we start talking. I said, I need a place to park some cars, man. You got some area behind the bar. Can I park? Yeah, you can use it. Really? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can fit to park my car. So anyway, I say, hey, let's go in that parking lot. And I'd like to, you know, the parking area, just check it out with you because, you know. So anyway, he walks over there. I drive over there. We get into this little lot and we're talking. And I find out he starts just opening his heart to me. A man who's been beat up by the world, but has recently, more recently, come to a path with Christ, is attending a local church. And so we're talking, and I'm hearing all this, and it was just striking to me, the Lord just showing me something as we're talking, and he knows, he hears I'm a pastor, and so he's really opening his heart. And well, I can see our radio towers as I'm talking to him, and I said to him, you know, you got to listen to 106.1. And what was so striking to me is this man said, 106.1, come with me. And he takes me into this bar that I wondered about, that's closed, goes over to the window sill, there's a boombox, and he turns it on, and it's already tuned into 106.1, and he listens to 106.1. And that just gave me a thought about Fitchburg. Like, I look at that bar, and I'm thinking one thing, and they're listening to Renew FM in there is what they're doing. Amen. It's no longer a bar, it's closed. But we get to minister to different people. And share the Lord in little ways we get to. But a valley of vision and sudden moves, what God does. And I'm seeing that God is working and using our move. Maybe today you're here and that's just a word for you. Well, very quickly, I'm in this new place. And God begins to then speak to me about this valley and valley of vision. How he can use these moves and things like that in our life to bring new outlook, but also new inlook. New outlook and new inlook. I had just moved in, and it was January the 30th. We had just settled a little bit. I got a little office. Sitting there in this new little room, I didn't know I'd be in, and I received in the mail the day before a book from my pastor, Mike McIntosh. It was a prayer book. I'm sitting there, again, wondering about what's going on, and I open up this prayer book. It's a Puritan prayer book, and it's called the Valley of Vision. Valley of Vision. Well, it's all these Puritan prayers over the last centuries that this man has combined together in this book. But the author, Arthur Bennett, writes his own prayer at the beginning, and it's called the Valley of Vision. And the word, you know, this place we live in is in the Fitchburg Valley here. Our church is in the valley. I go into the prayer room, I can look along the valley, and I pray over the city. Suddenly, I'm living on another part of the same valley. I can see off our little balcony over the city. And I'm thinking about a valley. I'm in a valley and looking out at Fitchburg. And, well, new outlook and new inlook. Maybe the Lord is preparing you for something like that. But this is what this prayer was, the Valley of Vision. Lord, high and holy, meek and lowly, thou hast brought me to the Valley of Vision, where I live in the depths but see in the heights. Hemmed in by the mountains of sin, I behold thy glory. Let me learn by paradox that the way down is the way up, that to be low is to be high, that the broken heart is the healed heart, that the contrite spirit is the rejoicing spirit, that the repenting soul is the victorious soul, that to have nothing is to possess all, that to bear the cross is to wear the crown, that to give is to receive, that the valley is a place of vision. Lord, in the daytime, stars can be seen from the deepest wells, and the deeper the wells, the brighter the stars shine. Let me find thy light in my darkness, thy life in my death, thy joy in my sorrow, thy grace in my sin, the riches in my poverty, the glory in my valley. I read that in this valley, thinking about the vision over the valley, And I read that, I'm like, valley of vision. And the Lord begins to speak to me about, I'm bringing you to places, but I'm also working in you. I want to bring you low. Because I want you to see who I am, and I want you to learn more about yourself. Well, I knew, looking over the valley, the Lord was giving this fresh outlook. I began to even be stirred in my heart as I prayed for a different part of the city that I can see. But I was defined in this little time that God was also using different things like this and other things He was going to start stirring up in the air to begin to really show me what was right here. How about you, 2019? How about you? How about you and your walk with God? What are you learning? What are you writing down? I think it's important to write it down. You can learn more. You can keep it in your heart. Well, dealing with issues in my life. So, with that, and then other things start to develop in the year, this is the next key thing I find in my journal as I look back that I learned, and this is it. This is the way I would say it. The big deal in my response to God's will. That is, how I respond to God is really key. When God changes or redirects, when God does something that I wasn't expecting, or maybe even doing things I was hoping He wouldn't be doing, when God wants me to do something I don't want to do. You know those times in your life? You had any of those in 2019? I had a number. But the way that I respond, I've learned in 2019, is a big deal to God. And I want to remind you of that today. It's a big deal. Yeah, sometimes I struggle, you know. I'm like, God, I don't get it. Even this wonderful apartment you've led us to, it's wonderful. But then I start thinking, I'm 53. I've been here a while. Why am I moving, Lord? I start getting, my head starts to rattle. And what is going on, you know? Joe over there has been in the same house the whole time I've been here, you know. What are you doing, Lord? I don't understand. Why do you tell me not to own a home? It would make our life a little easier. And yeah, not everybody can own a home, but I think there's been opportunity. And I start going down this road. I just start to wrestle with the way of God. Even though God is being kind, I start to wrestle. And what I find is, in different factors, God is also pressing me. He's pressing me. He's teaching me about myself and how I respond to His will. And the first thing, it's a big deal how I respond. The first thing, and you know these things, but I remind you, I must always respond in faith. I must always respond like, okay, Lord, this is what you want to do. You're a good God. Okay, Lord, this is what you want to do. You know what's best. Truly, I must respond in faith. Sometimes I don't. What began to happen this year at some point, and, you know, our church finances, sometimes they get tough around here because of radio. And I struggle with that. You know, we plan well, we budget well enough, but there's just too many factors with radio that can just totally upset the whole cart. Where you plan, but you didn't plan for that. How could you plan for that? Sort of, you know what I'm saying? We also had decided this year, you know, the church, you know, we want to keep going forward, so we were going to do some electrical upgrades, new lights and so forth. The electric company was going to pay a lot of it, but we had to pay a chunk, and it would work out well in the future. And then do some AC upgrades and heat upgrades, and then we're working up on the hill, building a parsonage, and then we got radio. And what happens is everything's going along, and all of a sudden, finances drop. A season of famine comes. And if you know me, my wife and kids will tell you, I personally don't like famines because I've lived through them a lot since I've been here. And before my life, I never even knew what a famine was, man. You know what I mean? You know, it's just life, never had to worry about it. Suddenly these famines in the church, oh my goodness, does that ever crush my spirit? Well, the way I respond to anything of God that He does, it is so key. I was reading in July, in the season of famine that I didn't know was going to happen, My Utmost for His Highest, one of the devos on the 17th of July, Oswald Chambers writes, Jesus said there are times when God cannot lift the darkness from you, but you should trust Him. At times God will appear like an unkind friend, but He is not. He will appear like an unnatural father, but He is not. He will appear like an unjust judge, but He is not. I read that, and I feel that way. I'm wrestling with the Lord. this is not just. I've done just fine. Why is there another famine? I've been beat up by these so many times. No need for it, Lord. No need for it. You told me to do these things. Why is there a famine, Lord? Why is it so hard? I feel such guilt. And this author says there are times where there's darkness, he can't lift it. There are times he'll seem unkind to you, but that doesn't mean he's not kind. There's times he'll seem like an unnatural father, but he's perfect, and he'll seem like an unjust judge, but he is in truth just. So to respond in faith. How about you today? Are you learning things like that with the Lord too? You look back over the last year and you're like, man, God, I just don't get it. That seemed hard, Lord. I don't get it. I don't see loving. You're a loving Father. I don't get this situation. I trust you, God. I trust you. I respond in faith. You know what's best. I don't get it, but you know what's best. This is, when I look back over 2019, these are things that God is teaching me in my heart. But this is what I've learned. When I don't respond in faith, I invite a spiritual battle. If I don't respond to what God is doing in faith, I invite a spiritual battle into my life. I've discovered that. I didn't really understand, but boy, did it come clear in 2019. And maybe it's this way. I'll just share it this way. But, you know, there's a spiritual realm around us. There's principalities and powers. We're told we cannot see them. They are against us. You know your Bible. Man, the devil wants to just beat up the church and, you know, he's angry. Revelation 12, he's against you and I as believers, constantly roaring lions, seeking to whom he may devour. Obviously, what he especially wants to do is discourage us, to get us to stop ministering, stop loving God and following God. I have found if I don't respond to what God is doing in faith, I invite a spiritual battle with the enemy. And that is, I think it's this way, and I'll leave it to you to figure it out, but to decide. But I think there's a darkness around me, and maybe the enemy is listening going, George Small is down, man. He'll be an easy target today. He'll be an easy target today. So I started to experience this truly, where I would start to get angry at God. And that's not good to do. But what I find is, it was like this. I would go into my office and prayer room to pray, and I would go in truly intending to have a heart right with God and just to thank the Lord, and yet I'm struggling. I don't get things that God is doing, and I'm really wrestling, but I'm going to have the right heart. But as I would begin to have my time with the Lord, I would start getting assaulted in my head with just thoughts of doubt. And like something was trying to stir me up to make me angry. And it was a struggle I was in for a while. And God was also then revealing and showing me that if you don't trust me, you open yourself to a spiritual battle. I think that's the way I see it. I mention it to you. Complaining and murmuring darkens my soul. I don't know about you. You complain and you murmur, it'll darken your soul. It's not a good thing to do. I flipped the pages of my journal last year, especially related to this whole famine issue, because I've been there before and they're very painful for me. And I see where I'm not trusting the Lord. I see where I'm complaining. I'm not embracing His will. I'm trying to just whatever I can to let Him know I'm so unhappy about it. Not embracing the suffering He's allowing to my life. But when I do that, I find, I can just see it. There's a darkness. There's a spiritual battle that has a greater ability to influence me. Things start to come into my mind that weren't there before. I began to doubt God's goodness in a deeper way, or His love, or His perfect will for me. And I can yet read in those times, other days, where God's clearly encouraging me, but there's this area I'm not trusting Him, and because of that, the enemy can just keep come knocking on that door. How about you? How about you? Maybe there's a spiritual battle, and the battle, you're leaving a door open for the enemy because you're not trusting God in some area of His will in your life. You're not settling it going, God, you're good. I love you. You got a perfect plan. Your will be done. If you want me to suffer this way, God, you're good. I embrace it. You know, I read, for instance, in my journal, you know, there are times I felt even like torment. I'd get up in the middle of the night bothered by some of these things. God, where are you? Does your hand of blessing leave my life? Are you through with me, Lord? Lord, should we quit radio? God, are you hearing my prayers? You know, those sort of things. You ever been there? Well, I've learned 2019. It is so, it's a big deal the way I respond to God and whatever He's doing, His will in my life. To murmur and complain, I think brings darkness into my soul. But then I've learned and been reminded in more profound ways, praise and thanksgiving leads to the light shining again. Praise and thanksgiving is it. If you get down that road and you start going as a human, if you do, you shouldn't. But if you do, the way out is to praise and to thank God. To truly praise Him and just love Him and exalt Him. And you do that, the light will start shining again. But I must also, the big deal, I must also respond in humility. Obviously, a lack of faith shows pride too. But humility is really key. And humility is a deeper and deeper thing for me. That when God wants to do something that is difficult, God wants to reprove me. Humility, it is a big deal how I respond. Humility is really key. February 6th, at the beginning of the year, the Lord was already talking to me about that, and I didn't know, as I look back now, this was like a good word for the whole year. But back in that same Puritan prayer book, O fountain of all God, destroy in me every lofty thought. Break pride to pieces and scatter it to the winds. Annihilate each clinging shred of self-righteousness. Implant in me true lowliness of spirit. Abase me to self-loathing and self-abhorrence, meaning, you know, to hate my flesh. Open in me a fount of penitential tears. Break me, then bind me up. Thus will my heart be prepared, a prepared dwelling for my God. Then can the Father take up His abode in me. Then can the blessed Jesus come with healing in His touch. Then can the Holy Spirit descend in sanctifying grace. O Holy Trinity, three persons in one God, inhabit me, a temple consecrated to Thy glory. When Thou art present, evil cannot abide. In Thy fellowship is fullness of joy. Beneath Thy smile is peace of conscience. By Thy side no fears to stir. No apprehension banishes, no apprehensions banish rest of mind. With Thee my soul shall bloom with fragrance. Make me meet through repentance for Thine indwelling. You know, Old English Puritan prayer, but I think you follow it. God, deal with my pride. God, make me humble. God, bring brokenness so that the Holy Spirit may come, is what that Puritan prayer was. And I find that with the Lord. Man, if there is pride, there is not a... I quench the Holy Spirit. Pride can lead you to becoming angry with God. Remember the story of Asa. First, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, the story of Asa. This man starts out so well, a man of faith, loving God and following God, right? God uses him to defeat mighty enemies. But then pride is working in his heart. And because of pride, he starts to look to his own ways and techniques and the flesh instead of looking to God for deliverance. Before he was just looking to God. Now he looks to his own ways. And what happens is the prophet is sent to rebuke him. And God says to Asa, my eyes look to and fro. My eyes look all over for a heart that is loyal to me. And when I have a heart that is loyal to me, I will show myself strong on their behalf. But Asa, man, you've gotten prideful. Well, Asa in his pride gets angry at God. Even begins to oppress the people of Israel. He gets angry. He wasn't that way initially. But he gets angry pride. The way I respond to God, even His rebuke, a big deal. It's a big deal. Humility is so key. God, I pray for humility in my own heart. And I read this devotional, and the Lord was really ministering to me. But it was at this time, it was an email that came in to me, an email devotional, Two Kings and Two Choices. And the author compares Rehoboam and Asa. Rehoboam was rebuked by the prophet, you can study, for his sin. But Rehoboam, who got way off, when God came with the prophet and rebuked him, he repented. Asa, it didn't seem he got as off as much, but his pride was there and he got angry. And the author says this, both men sinned. Both were confronted with sin. One accepted the rebuke as God's way of cleansing. The other received it as an assault on his reputation. Humility restored Rehoboam. Pride ruined Asa. And I've learned in 2019, it's a big deal how I respond to God. And pride is, if there's pride, man, anger is one of those things that come. How about you? Looking over the last year, you get angry with God. It's indicative of pride. I must also keep evil speaking, deceit, you know, those sort of things. My words must be holy before the Lord. God showed me that a long time ago. It's a lesson I continue to learn. When we were in Virginia, God was calling us, clearly spoke to me that we needed to move this radio station we had to Boston. And man, my wife and I realized there's going to be a battle with this as we do this. And we go to church that Sunday. This pastor teaches on suffering and when you don't understand what God is doing, Job. And I wrote down these points. And he mentioned, this was in 2012, he mentioned, you know, I must always keep my, you know, heart holy. I must always keep God holy. I must always be very careful what I say. And I remember sitting there thinking, wow, this message is powerful. And then I got to thinking, I hope it's not for my family. And some of you who have been here long enough know that my son got sick a couple days later and was sick for 5 years, and it was a real trial in our life. And I would go back and I would look at that, but keep my words holy. And boy, sometimes it's tough for me, and God forgive me. When I struggle and I'm complaining, God reminded me in 2019, it is wicked to say anything, you know, but faith to him. I mean, to say anything, to question. But, you know, it gives the opportunity to the devil. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Gives place to the devil. You get angry with the Lord, you're definitely given an opportunity for the devil. No corrupt words, the same chapter, should ever come out of your mouth. Paul says it grieves the Holy Spirit. So bitterness, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, you going on and on, that quenches the Holy Spirit. What is needed is worship. Job, you know, even in a trial, God, I worship you, right? I find worshiping, being thankful, keeping my heart soft, man, that's the key thing. Pride can put you on the shelf. Asa ends up on the shelf. There are times in my journey where God has come to me and reminded me. Fascinating. One time, this last year, a person in our church gave this passage to me. It was Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 15 to 20. And it was in this season of just wrestling with the Lord. Jeremiah 15, verse 15 to 20. And just struggling with what God was doing. Well, that ministered to me, and it was a good rebuke for me. But then I discovered, later in the year, as I was looking at other journals for the reason, somebody else, at another time in my life, gave me the same passage. What's crazy is, it isn't just the same passage. The person who gave it to me this last year gave it to me from the Amplified Version, which when you read it, it's like, oh, it's just much more profound. And the person years ago, another complete person, gave it to me from the same version. It's the same message. It's like, whoa, Lord. But you know what God says to Jeremiah? Jeremiah's like, God, will you be an unfaithful spring? I'm suffering. This is hard. I don't get it. Are you going to be an unfaithful spring, God? And God's like, Jeremiah, you need to repent of what you just said. That's what God says. You need to repent. And he says, you repent and you get your heart right and I'll continue to use you. Implying, if you don't, I'm not going to use you. But if you look at Jeremiah's suffering at the time, that human thing is like, God, I'm going to do all this. This is so hard. Are you going to be an unfaithful spring? And God's like, you need to repent. Read Jeremiah 15. I must always, when it comes, it's a big deal how I respond to God. I must always respond in immediate obedience. It's a dangerous thing if I drag my feet. I had this experience in 2019. It was actually very beautiful, but very hard. In some season we were in, and what I felt the Lord was telling me to do and to continue on this path and the fears and the burden. I had this experience, and I felt the Lord was just ministering to me. I know, God, you want me to say to you, not my will, but thy be done. But right now, in every bit of my flesh, it's like, no, I don't want to do this. You ever have those times like, not my will? I remember walking around praying in my apartment, and I know that I needed that in my heart. And I was thinking, I was reading about Jesus, you know, Jesus in the Gethsemane saying to the Father, not my will. Oh, Lord, if you will take this away. Father, you take this away, please take it away. If not, not my will, but yours be done. And it was an interesting experience for me because I was like, I don't know how to do this. So I started praying, Jesus, will you help me? Because you said to the Father in your Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus, I need your help. Would you help me say that to the Father? That's the best I could do. Help me. I don't want to do this. Help me go, not my will, but yours be done. Because you did it. I need your help to do this. It was an interesting experience. I never really had that before like that. But it was actually very beautiful. My prayer must remain, not my will, but I be done. God desires to teach and grow me in my Gethsemanes. I have my own Gethsemanes. They are different maybe than yours. But I have these places where it's not my will, Lord. I don't want this, but yours be done. Lord, I want to yield to you. Help me to yield to you. I want to just honor you. Help me in all these fears and struggles. Not my will, but yours be done. The Gethsemane, important places. I have found that when I do that in those Gethsemanes, those times for me that are difficult, there's a work that is going on in my heart. And that work in my heart begins to prepare me for more of the Holy Spirit. God is teaching me things about himself and about me. And it's making me in a vessel where now more of the Holy Spirit can work. I must always respond immediately in obedience. And the truth is, if I don't, God will speak a second time, won't he? Jonah. God's like, Jonah, go to Nineveh. He's like, no way, Jose. Goes the other way. What happened? Jonah, welcome to the storm. Welcome to the big fish. Welcome to a tough trial. All said and done, Jonah's a little bit more ready to listen. And God doesn't change the message. Jonah, I said, go to Nineveh. It's kind of how it works with little old me and God. He'll do it a second time. I told you. And I was like, that hurt. I guess that was unnecessary. I should have just done it because you told me. But I've also found, you know, God will speak a second time. But if I don't listen, if I don't respond in obedience, I begin to quench the Holy Spirit and also my ability to hear him. And he'll come back around, but boy, I tell you what, my hearing gets dull if I don't respond in obedience. I learned that in 2019. I had a season where really needed to know the will of God and weary, having a hard time. And I finally fasted and sought the Lord and humbled my heart. And man, God, he was telling me already certain things, but now I began to question. I was just weary. And man, he met me in a beautiful way. And I'm like, I know what I need to do. Okay, God, I will go do it. If I don't heed, I quench the spirit. If I don't heed, I may not hear his voice again. Last point here this morning. I got a lot more, by the way, because it was a whole year. But I won't go through them all. This I found in humility and the process is, this is the way I write it, digging heart trenches for the water to flow. And that is, God works in my life through famines. God works in my life through hard things. These famines that have come into our church, you know what I have learned that God is doing with them? God is using them. He does this repeatedly to get my attention, to get me to tune in. We have this financial famine hit the church. I can't believe one is happening again. There's just no way. And I just felt we were doing everything right. How can it possibly be happening? Well, one of the things it did, it caused me to listen to the Lord more closely. And we were doing some work up on the hill with some of the land that we have to build a parsonage. And it is true, there's people that abut our land that, you know, because of the way our land is, they've lived on our land and they don't have a lot of land on one side of their property. And now we're going to use our land and they're going to not be able to live the way they were. But we are going to do this. God's leading us to do it. I felt the Lord get my attention. I know that's what we're doing. But the way you treat them, you're not being sensitive enough to the way you're treating them. And that whole story of David, you know, with the famine he had and this gal that was laying her sackcloth on the rocks and going, you know, and there was still a famine and no rain and he had to go make something right with somebody. And he wasn't even directly responsible. But when he did, so it led to some meetings and we're going to take some of our land and give it to this other people so that they can have it because they've been living on it. I didn't know we'd be doing that, but God got my attention in the famine. But also, God brings the famine to address the hardness of my heart. That's especially what I've learned. the hard things come to deal with my hard heart. God wants to come and bring that humility. God wants to come and break the brokenness again. And I'm going, Lord, why are we behind on bills? No way. And God's like, dude, this is what I got to do here with you, man, because it's painful for you. But your heart is hard again. I got to work on it, man. It's one of the tools I use with you, George. I have found that he uses this. And it led to then a time. I have a highlight date in my journal for 2019. And there's times in my journey, but this stands out. I've talked a little bit about it, but I had one day, I had no idea it was going to happen. Seeking the Lord, heart, God's working on it, trial, getting to a place, God, help me to glorify you, help me to honor you, help me to just bless you, help me to embrace, God, help me to worship. I everything's contrary to it, help me just, and working through that. And then one day, I was worshiping the Lord. I didn't expect it, and the Holy Spirit came down in that apartment. I had no idea that was going to happen. I ended up at the side of my bed on my knees. I was overwhelmed with the presence and love of God. One of the few times in my life, off the charts, I couldn't believe what was happening. I had no anticipation of it. And all it could lead to was just, God, thank you. God, thank you. I just blown away the Spirit of God in my life. And I've learned through that, I bring these famines and these hard things to bring repentance again, humility, brokenness. Because once, you know, we dig those trenches, and kings, you know, they go out in the wilderness. The men were studying this. They're out there to battle the army, and I'm out of time, but, you know, they're commanded to dig trenches, and the water came from the mountains, and I don't have time to go through that with you this morning, but I feel God wants, he's digging trenches in my heart. And I'm helping dig trenches in the famines, in the hard places, where I'm repenting and I'm yielding and I'm just loving him and worshiping anyway. And I find the Spirit of God comes. Because that's where I need to be. Hey, I could tell you a whole lot more and I won't. But in 2019, I've learned these things. How about you? I've learned about God leading me to valleys of vision. Sudden moves that can bring me to a new outlook, but also a new inlook. It is a big deal the way I respond to God's will. I must always respond in faith. If I don't, I invite a spiritual battle. Complaining and murmuring just darkens my soul. Praise and thanksgiving, let the light shine again. I must always respond in humility. Pride will lead you becoming to angry with God. Pride can put you on the shelf. I must always respond in immediate obedience. My prayer must be, God, not my will, but yours be done. And with that, you know, Lord, you're teaching me and growing me in these Gethsemanes. God will speak and speak again if he needs to. But if I don't heed, I'm going to quench the spirit and I'm not going to be able to hear his voice as well. But God is digging heart trenches, man. And I need to help dig them too. He works through these famines. Man, I don't like the famines. But I look back going, wow, you work through those famines. You work, man. You get my attention. Deal with the hardness and the Spirit comes again. And I could tell you about a lot more, but we're out of time. Let's stand together. How about you, 2019? What'd you learn with God? What are you learning? Got any notes that you go back to and look at? I think it's really good to do. You know, it's interesting. I'm going through my trial too, and This famine was tough. And by the way, you know why I was praising God on the December the 28th yesterday? Is our church was at one point this summer $50,000 behind on bills. That's painful for me. You know what we are today? Zero.
Amen.
Zero. Yeah. And we didn't put up any thermometers. We didn't mail anything in your house to give us money. We held straight to our missions. We kept giving our missions. And I let God just work in my heart. And I was walking around going, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for paying up, catching up on our bills. Thank you. And then it led me to, I want to go read about that time of the Holy Spirit because that was so precious. And what happened when the Spirit of God came into that room that day, I wrote in my journal, God, I know you will provide.
Amen.
And I saw the connection between that and going back on the faith that came, and he did. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I thank you for this time. We look back over a year. We go into a new year. I pray, God, for my friends and myself that we would listen for you, Lord, and we would obey. If there's any area of our life that we're being rebellious, hard-hearted, thank you for being such a loving Father. We know you're going to deal with it. But I pray, Lord, we wouldn't be like Israel, where you're working and going to do a work, and the prophets are speaking, and yet we're just partying on the rooftop. There should have been a humble heart, a broken heart, so you could bring your Spirit. I pray that we'd have these humble hearts, God. If our hearts are hard, oh Lord, work. Thank you for the tools you use. We go forth into a new year. We pray your will to be done. We want to obey you. We want to be humble. We want to love you. We want to glorify you. We want you to use our lives. And so we just thank you for 2019. And here's our lives, Lord, as we go into a new year. Use us to your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship as we go.